Well, today I'm in part 7 in our series called Insecure. And my topic for today's message is very creative. You're going to like it. It's called this. Two words. Don't compare. Isn't that super creative? Don't compare. Today I want to talk to you how comparing yourself to other people leads to a life of insecurity, leads to a life of destruction, leads to a life of negativity. Okay? So we don't want that. We want to be living a life to the fullest that God has for us. Amen. Amen. So the topic is what?
Don't compare.
Today we're going to look at a life of King Saul. He's the first king of Israel. And last week I said this and I'm going to repeat it. He's tall. He's dark. He's the most handsome man in Israel. He's head and shoulders taller than anybody else. But he's very insecure. The thing you want to know about Saul is that in the beginning of his life, Saul is the nicest guy you can meet. And some people say, well, the power corrupted him. Actually, insecurity corrupted him. You give power to an insecure person and watch out. You give unchecked power to insecure person and watch out. Now, how do I know that? King Saul was chosen by God and anointed by God to be the first king of Israel. Some of you know this, some of you don't, but that's the fact. God chose him, God anointed him. Actually, Saul was so spiritual, one day he started prophesying. And people said, what, even Saul now a prophet? You never know who you could be until the blessing and anointing of God comes upon your life, right? When anointing comes on you, everything blossoms. And that's why you never want to lose that. You never want to lose that. You never want to diminish it or put it down, that fire of anointing. Saul is a nice guy. He loves his people. He's a great king and a great general in the beginning. He destroys all the enemies of Israel but one. Philistines are the only ones that left, those pesky Philistines. Now, if you're Palestinian here, love you. That's just the story. We love everybody. Amen. And so Saul is a great guy. And for 10, 15 years, he's ruling Israel. And he's loved by everybody. There's no one greater. And then God anoints another man. His name is David. And that trips Saul up like crazy. That trips him up. In the first service, it said, Saul, instead of celebrating what God is doing in somebody else's life, in a 17-year-old, 16, 17-year-old kid, Saul gets jealous. And that's where we pick up this story. Watch what happens. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed Goliath, Philistine was the Goliath. He was like 9 feet tall or so. Women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. So young women usually not the married women with children, wouldn't come out. These were usually single women would come out and they began to dance and sing. Now, this is what they sang. This was their song. Saul killed his thousands, and David killed his 10,000s. Holy moly. Imagine if that was you. What would you do? Well, Saul didn't have the Bible like we do. He didn't have his story. So Saul trips. I said this in the first service. Why would these women do this? Why would they do this to their king? Why would they put him down like that? Well, there's two reasons. You ready for this? Number one, Saul is getting older. Saul is about pushing 40. David is a 16-year-old kid. These girls are how old? About 16. So now, right? Who do girls... When you used to be 16 or 20, you used to be trending, right? Hashtag your name. King Saul, everything. King Saul this, he defeated Moabites. Hashtag King Saul is the man. King Saul is so handsome. King Saul is this, but now King Saul is 40. He's got a little flabby. Everything is shaking a little longer when he walks. Help me. Hashtag 40, right? And so now 40 is not old, don't get me wrong, I'm almost there, but but why would these girls sing for David? Because David was somebody they identified with. When I was younger, Jars of Clay was somebody I identified with. Alanis Morissette, somebody I identified with. What? You didn't think I listened to unchristian music? Come on. It wasn't always this good. No, I'm just kidding. Digging myself in a shovel. But, you know, now I turn on DC Talk and my daughter's like, can we listen to somebody else, something else? And I listen to the music she listens to. I'm like, that's not music. Now DC Talk is music. Christian music. He's like, no, you're into Lecrae, right? LaVar is driving by and... In this bass and it's Lecrae and it's I know what you listen to, man. I'm around you enough, right? And so these girls didn't mean anything evil. They were just hashtagging David. It was his 15 minutes of fame. The truth is, God gives every person 15 minutes of fame. God gives moments, these moments where everybody celebrate you. Amen. Today, some of you are graduating from high school or college, and everybody's going to your party. That's your moment. Amen. And you should enjoy that moment. Amen. So it's David's moment. And today I'm going to talk about how important it is to celebrate people's moments. Amen. But King Saul doesn't celebrate David's moment. He compares himself. And instead of saying, I am who I am and David is who he is, he gets very jealous and he gets very uncomfortable. He's got this twist in his stomach, you know? And look what he says. This made Saul very angry. What's this? He said. They credit David with 10,000. He's 17. King, he's 17. He's a shepherd boy. He killed one man. Let him have a moment and move on. See, sometimes we think that in a kingdom of God, God only blesses one person. That's so not true. God is unlimited in his anointing. God is unlimited in his blessing. God is unlimited in his healing. God is unlimited in all that he has for you. But our human mind, conditioned by this world, makes us believe that if God blesses one person, that is not enough for me. Come on, somebody. Amen. So they credit him with 10,000 and me only with 1,000. Next, they'll be making him their king. That's where we see insecurity. Tall, dark, handsome, rich, great general, great king, great family, but insecure. Insecurity will, in a moment of celebrations, in the blessed moments. Guys, King Saul just won a war. His last enemy, who were Philistines, were defeated. There is no more enemy on the territory of Israel that Saul is fighting at this moment anyway. Saul, why don't you celebrate? You have your baby now. Why don't you celebrate? Well, I need more. You have your promotion. Why can't you celebrate? Because if you are insecure, the insecurity always tells you it's not enough. And so other people are enjoying your 15 minutes of fame more than you. You're Martha. Jesus is in your house. And you're angry. It's your 15 minutes of fame, Martha. Jesus is in your house. Maybe enjoy it. You'll never have this moment again. It'll be written about you in history for millions and billions of years. Martha, enjoy. Look at Mary. No, Martha is mad. I'm the only one cooking here. It's your 15 minutes. Enjoy it. Who cares about food? Enjoy Jesus. Get to know. Enjoy your moment. Enjoy your moment. Insecurity steals a moment from the one who God gave the moment to. Insecurity steals those moments from people God has given that moment to. Enjoy it. And usually, I know this from my life. You reach 100 people, you're praying, God bless me with 100 people in church. And now you're like, that's it? People are like, yeah, we reached 100. You reach 200, that's it. 300, that's it. 400, that's it. God, 500, that's it. Gotta enjoy the moments. But insecurity does not let us enjoy those moments. Insecurity always looks for a reason why you shouldn't be happy. Always, always, always looks for a reason why you shouldn't be happy. You have this in church. I've seen this. I've read this. I didn't see this. I read this. Sometimes when God begins to grow a church, some people in the members who've been helping you build that get insecure and get mad and leave. And it's like, why are you leaving? You just helped us build this. Why don't you? How many of you know we're in a building stage of our church? We're now where we're supposed to be. If spiritually speaking, we're only on the foundation of our church. Someday this church is going to be 1,500 people. It will be. God said it. So watch this. So that means there's going to be barriers that we will overcome. And instead of being insecure and celebrating those blessings that God gave us, don't allow the devil to say, oh, now they won't need you here. What do you mean we won't need you? You're one of the 2x6s or 2x4 in this structure. You're one of the pillars here. Yeah. Right? God has used you. Don't allow insecurity to tell you that now that they're so big, they don't need me. That's a lie from the devil. Still kill and destroy. God still needs you. I still need you. This church needs you. And don't get so, I think they don't need me because look, they can get by without me now. We are the church. We're the body. What do you mean? My pinky can say, I don't need you? We need each other. You see, but that happens in every area of our life. Let me give you just quickly two areas. Well, let's finish reading, then I'll give you those two areas. I'm running. From that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. He became a hater, yeah. The very next day, so next day after victory, guys. Next day after this big victory where Goliath falls, David cuts his head off, the Israelites win the war. Very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul. Now, people ask, does God send evil into our life? No, but he can allow it. Remember in Job's life? Right? Job says, let me test him. God says, go ahead. Okay? And so I believe the same thing. The evil spirit, because he saw an open door. And he says, I have a right. And God says, well, God works on the laws of the universe. God just doesn't say, you know, God doesn't say do whatever you want. There's laws. And so he began to and overwhelmed Saul. Insecurity will overwhelm you. It will steal your life. You'll be thinking for months, for years, and it will get you into depression. Listen to me. It will get you into anxiety and fear. And before you know it, you'll need medicine to help because you stoop down to that. God wants you to live a life of joy and fulfillment. God wants there's an engine inside of you that can generate joy, but you can turn that engine off, put it aside, and turn on your sad engine. And all it is that your sad engine is running, and it's running and it's running and it's taking over your mind. It's taken over your life. It's taken over your relationships. And now you're so negative, nobody wants to be around you because that engine took over your life. Who will you allow to take over your life? God says, the joy of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I said, rejoice. Nehemiah says to people, stop crying. This is the happy day. Let's celebrate. Celebrations are powerful. Saul won a great victory, and yet he's focused on this one soldier of his. David is just a soldier. He's not even a soldier. He's just one hit wonder, right? Just one hit wonder. That's it. Just let him have it. Hashtag, did you see what David did? Everybody reposting King Saul's hashtag, yeah. So now it's going viral. Wow, King Saul is so mature. King Saul is so amazing. Well, look at him. He's supporting David, right? And then 3 days later, everybody moves on. How many of you know things don't last forever? That's why you call it 15 minutes of fame, right? Today you're good looking. Today you're rich. Today you got a great job tomorrow. I mean, nothing lasts forever. Let him have it. Celebrate with him. And just because he has it doesn't mean that God has nothing left for you. What kind of God are you serving? Sister, what kind of God are you serving? Brother, what kind of God are you serving? Is he limited? As far as I know, my God is not limited by anything. He creates things by his word. My God is unlimited. He creates things with his words. As soon as he says something, it happens. So he's got to be careful what he says, because it happens. What does the Bible says in Jeremiah? My words will not return to me void, but they will accomplish and prosper in the things that I've sent. Just like rain goes down, does not come up void. It flourishes the ground. You guys are listening to the word of God. Forget the preacher. Forget the delivery. Listen to God. Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Spirit. Amen. There's Spirit speaking in this place. Oh. Very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand. And he suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him. Now, he wasn't pinning a pin on him, like a little bit here, pin him to the wall. He intended to kill him. Wow. A nice guy. Saul. A nice king. A spiritual man. Saul. I can expect it from anybody, but not Saul. So you have people in your courts. They're going to talk. They're going to spread the bad news. What are they going to say? But David escaped him twice. Actually, history tells us, in Jewish history, is that approximately 25 times Saul wanted to kill David. 25 times. That's why God doesn't give some people power. Giving some people too much power, and they're so insecure. It's going to destroy you, and you're going to destroy other people. Look what it did to a nice guy like Saul. Saul didn't have the Bible like we do today. Aren't we blessed that we can read these stories and learn for our life so you can have a better life? Because all insecurity does is steal your joy, your happiness, your life. And Jesus said, I have come to give you life in abundantly. Yeah. Abundantly. Amen. So now Saul has it all. Guys, Saul has it all. He's a king. He's a great general. He's victorious. He has great children. He has victory over all his enemies. And you would think that Saul would begin to build his own house, right? Saul, buy a better donkey. Right? Saul, buy a better horse. Start racing horses. I don't know what kings do. Go hunting. Right? Go to the sea, Mediterranean Sea, and enjoy some waves. Do some wave surfing. It's just close by. Go to the Dead Sea. Right? That's there. Go to the Jordan River. Go to the Sea of Galilee. I mean, go out, Saul. plant a vineyard. Enjoy the wine. Saul, God has given you victory over all of your enemies. You would think that Saul would go and live his life to the fullest now that he has victory. No. What he does is for 10 to 15 years, he chases a kid through the desert trying to kill him. And God testing desert by the testing David by the desert too. God gives David opportunity to kill the king. And God and David says, I will not raise my hand against the anointed. Let him die in battle. Let somebody else kill him. But I'm not going to kill him. Yeah. What a trust David has. Because at this time he's anointed to be the next king. But what Saul doesn't know, that David will not be king until Saul's reign is done. So what you worry about is not even going to happen. Saul didn't know that David was not going to be king. So Saul could have enjoyed 15 years. Built a great army. Worshipped God. Wrote a book. I don't know. Wrote some songs. I don't know what you do. But all the time he was worried. Chasing people through the desert. What? Yeah, imprisoned by his own insecurity. Insecurity, guys, young people, listen to me. It's a demon. Get him out of your life. Yeah. If anything, if you don't know how, just say, God, help me. And I will not give up asking you till this demon leaves my life. Yeah. I'm tired of insecurity. I'm tired. Don't live another year. Don't live another 20 years with insecurity. Yeah. Allow God to free you. Amen. Amen. Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and had turned away from Saul. Oh, what a scary moment. Here's another lesson, guys. God bless David. So Saul, when you are attacking David, you are attacking. You're not resisting David. You're resisting God. See, the people in your life, God blessed them. You didn't bless them. Even if you had an influence in their life, you didn't bless them. God did. And so when you want to destroy them, some people want to destroy people mentally. They curse people mentally. Somebody gets blessed and you like, God punished them. And it's mental. And you think that you have power, mental power. You're not a mind bender thing in X-Men, you know. You're not that mind guy, you know. So you actually don't have that power, thank God, because we would kill people with our minds. How many people? We would all be dead because I would kill you, you kill me. I mean, there'd be nobody left. And somehow I would find a way to destroy my own mind, right? So thank God he doesn't give us those powers because we're just not able to handle them. And so Saul is going mad now. He's going so mad, he's in this rage part of his life. And so they say, bring him a musician. And so when David... So they find David again. So David is not just a good killer, you know, soldier. He's a good musician. That no wonder girls like him, right? No wonder they are hashtagging David killed so much. Oh my goodness, he's the best thing since slice of bread. Yeah, thank you. He's the best thing, David. Anyway, now there's two areas of insecurity in your life. Well, let me correct myself. There's at least two areas of insecurity in your life. And you'll recognize this. Number one area is the physical. We've all been insecure because of how we looked, of our physical appearance. Ladies, how beautiful you are. And guys, how good looking you are. Your appearance. Right? Probably from 12 years old, you started noticing your body. And when you started noticing your body, you became insecure. Especially, we live in a world where there's so much online. People post their body pics. They post their legs. They post their, you know, and then the media, and then the entertainment industry. They don't put regular people in the movies. They put like the tens, right, in the movies. I mean, and so we look and we're like, I'm so ugly, right? So physical insecurity. Now. Second area of our insecurity, if you be honest, check your life, is your gifts, your talents, your intelligence, your intellect, your IQ, your abilities, right? We studied this in a previous weeks. If you want to go back and listen to this insecurity series, how do you overcome physical insecurity? I said you got to love yourself as God loves you. Okay? You cannot love your neighbor as yourself if you hate yourself. If you hate yourself, you're going to hate other people. So now this is not an obsession. I love myself. Like, what do you call that? Narcissism. This is not narcissism. Okay, this is not like hyper self-esteem or whatever. This is, I know what I look like. I know I got flabby areas in my life, but I love myself. Okay, this is a healthy, I love myself. I love my hair. I know I have red hair, but I love it. I wish I had a different color hair all my life, right? I wish I was a little bit taller all my life, but eventually you gotta come to conclusion. God created me this way. I cannot change it. I gotta love myself. So how do you overcome physical insecurity? Love who you are. That's it. Love your imperfections. Love who you are. If you're short, love short people. If you're tall, you know, you'd be surprised, because tall people, Micah told me that he was all... shouldn't have named his name. But a guy told me that he was always insecure about how tall he was till he grew up. Then he realized it's okay, because he's like, it's hard to find a mattress. It's hard to go through doors. You know, it's hard to be in a small car when you're so tall. And so tall people are also insecure. Just like we're short people and then average people. Everybody has insecurity. So how do you deal with it? You love who you are. Amen. Like God loves you. Yeah. God loves you. You didn't create yourself. Your parents had some involvement, but they didn't create you. God created you. Amen. I heard a guy said that he had a revelation of heaven. And he said in heaven, people were not tall. And he's like... And this is not Bible, so don't make it your theology. But in heaven, everybody wants to be humble. And so they choose to be shorter. I don't know. Winning, yeah. Some of you won't have to shrink yourself. You'll be just fine the way you are, right? Okay, don't point fingers now. So there's two areas of our life where we get really insecure. When I look at somebody's gifts, I'm like, I wish I was so gifted. I wish I could sing like that. I wish I could speak like that. I wish I could be as good in school like that. Man, they don't do anything and they get A's, and I have to work so hard. I'm still in school. For some people, it's easy. And so... what triggers our insecurity in both cases, in our physical body, in our gifts, is this trap thing. It's called comparison. What triggers your insecurity in your physical looks is in comparison. If you didn't see somebody else looking any different, you'd be thinking you're perfect. Right? Comparison makes us insecure about who we are. Physical body. Comparison also makes us insecure when it comes to our intellect and our gifts, right? The man who was given one talent of gold, he became so insecure. Why? Because he looked at a guy who had five gifts of gold. And instead of using it and multiplying it, investing it, he buried it. And God called him a wicked servant. Oh, God doesn't like you trying to be somebody else. Actually, that's what got Satan thrown out of heaven. He didn't like who he was. He wanted to be like... That's what got Adam and Eve kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Eve didn't like what God gave her. She wanted to be somebody else. She wanted to be like God, knowing good and... It's a sin. It's a sin of pride. And God wants to set us free. For where we're going, God wants to set us free from this Demon of insecurity. What triggers insecurities in our life? The biggest thing is comparison. And comparison is a trap that will keep you bounded and steal your joy. So my topic is what? Don't compare. It's simple and easy. Tell your neighbor, say, don't compare yourself to anybody. Don't compare. Be yourself. Amen. Oh, man. There's so many scenarios where we compare ourselves, right? Somebody went to college with, you found out she's getting engaged, and you're like, how come she's getting engaged? What about me? Yeah. Comparison, right? Yeah. A worker who's working with you got a promotion. Well, how come he's getting or she's getting promotion? Yeah. What about me? Yeah. Next door neighbor got a nice SUV, fully loaded, yeah. Big rims. Now you don't want to go to their house for barbecue because you're like, who do they think they are? And now he's washing his wheels, and you're like, look at him showing off, taking his t-shirt off. Man. Put a t-shirt on, man. Insecurity. Instead of celebrating, you are comparing and you're putting yourself down. And somehow you're trying to hurt a person. It's the sickest, most twistiest thing. I don't know if that's a word, but somehow we're thinking if we're not going to celebrate, we're going to put a person down, or we're going to diminish their success. And guys, you didn't give them that success. God gave. And so you can't take it away from them. Yeah. Their success can be more enjoyable if you join. Yes. Right? But you can't take it away because God gave it. Yeah. And by thinking like, I hope God punished him and take away that car, I'm going to see someday him getting that SUV repossessed. Oh, just negative thinking. Amen. Is your first reaction when people are blessed by God a spasm of jealousy? Is your first reaction a self-pity? Why not me response? It's not fair. They got what I wanted. When we got married, Tanya, my wife, really wanted to have children. I grew up in a big family, and I was the oldest, 7 boys. So all I remember is babies, always babies, crying babies. So I'm like, when I get married, I don't want children for like 10 years. And I was fine with that because all I saw was babies. But Tanya just had this, what do you call that, baby fever. Baby fever. And for 3 years, we didn't have babies. But I didn't care because I was in youth ministry. I was in business. And she was just getting beat up by this baby thing. She was negative because of the baby. And then her sister gets married, and the next day they get pregnant. I don't know if it's next day, right? And I got permission from her yesterday as she was falling asleep to tell this story. And so she said yes. But anyway, and so Dinah said, you want to come quickly. You'll explain this better. I'm going to come to you then. Okay. Come on, can you welcome Pastor Tanya? Come up here. Tell us about this.
My sister gets pregnant, and instead of me being so happy for her, I am miserable, and I'm to the point where I hate her. I hate my own sister because she's pregnant. And it's not fair because I'm oldest. I've been married for longer. I deserve to have a baby. She doesn't. She could wait. And so I come to this point where, I mean, I hate her. I can't talk to her. We live different states. She comes over to visit. I just can't talk to her. I hate the baby. And this is what I heard from God. He said this. He said, no baby until you are happy for her. Oh. Right? Who does that? God does that. And so I was like, no, I can't be happy. Okay, I won't hate her, but I can't be happy for her. You can't expect that from me. And I just kept on hearing, there's going to be no baby until you're happy for her. And I just had to. I wanted a baby so much. And the freedom that came on that day. I remember that day when I said, because I was praying, I was like, God, I can't help how I feel. He said, no, baby, so do what you got to do. And so I started praying. I was like, God, I want to be happy for her. I want to be happy. And I hate this feeling of hating my sister. This is wrong. And so the day, I remember, I was able to say, I'm happy for her. And I called her and I said, this is going to be so weird. Please don't be mad at me. I hated you up until today, but today I'm so happy for you. And it felt so freeing. And we got pregnant in like a month after that.
Amen. Woo. Amen. Amen. Didn't have to do nothing. All right. What is it that triggers you to be unhappy for other people? What is it? Here's two reasons to never compare yourself to other people. Number one, it produces discouragement. You want more discouragement in your life? Discourage, lack of courage. You know that Satan lives in the discouragement area of your life? And God lives in secure, in confident areas of your life. Satan lives in discouragement areas of your life. God lives in confidence and secure and joy areas of your life. That's why the Bible says don't strife with one another. Don't argue with one another, because God cannot live in that atmosphere. God lives in an atmosphere of praise, faith, love. Amen. God lives in those atmosphere. So you want God to live and bless you, create that atmosphere in your mind around you. Create that atmosphere. May your home be a home of peace. God lives in a house of peace. Oh, I'm preaching better than you shouting, but that's okay. I know people online are going nuts about this right now. Amen. God lives in the areas of praise. God inhabits the praises of his people. And so discouragement, Satan wants to make you discouraged, thinking you're going to be spiritual by being discouraged. No, he lives there. He crawls in those areas of your life and discourage. God lives in the courage. That's why he says to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. That's why Nehemiah forbids people to cry on a day of celebration. He said, stop that. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Did you know in the Bible, a guy named Nehemiah, people were weeping for their sins, and Nehemiah rebuked them, said, stop weeping. This is not a weeping day. Today is a joy day. There's time for laughing and there's time for weeping, but he said, today is a joy day. When God blesses somebody in your life, it's not a day to weep. It's a day to rejoice. We usually work that. Bible says rejoice those who with who rejoices and weep with those who weep. We do opposite. We weep when people rejoice, and when people weep, we go. Right? That you want to know if you're a sinner or not, if you have a sinful nature, there you go. There's proof. There's proof right there. Amen. So rejoicing for people. Amen. Can you handle 5 more minutes? 15? Yeah. All right, look at that, 15. What about you in the back? 2. I got to get you guys closer to the front. You'll be 15-er minutes. 30 seconds right here. Amen. Where are we at here? Okay, so it produces discouragement. Why you should never compare yourself to other people. Or it produces pride. So, when you always find people who are better than you, it produces discouragement. But you can always find people who are not doing as good as you. And so you... And that produces pride. So comparison is a trap. It doesn't feel like a sin, because there's no sin says don't compare yourself with one another. I wish there was a commandment. 11th commandment, don't compare yourself to other people. 12, don't be insecure. Okay, it would be easier. Okay, right? Don't be jealous. Well, there is one. Don't be envious. Okay? But God wants you to live. So don't compare. So how do you overcome? How do you get delivered from the comparison insecurity? Number one, you pray and ask God to deliver you from insecurity. Some people are very, they understand psychology of other people and themselves. Other people don't have a psychology gift. Okay? So in those cases, you got to be led by the Spirit. Some people can understand themselves and hopefully they can change them. Some people, they don't. They just don't understand what's going on here. But God can step by step teach you how to overcome, even if you don't understand psychology or philosophy. See, God works on your level and He can free you, and you can live a life of joy, and you can enjoy parties, you can enjoy your brothers and sisters' successes. You will not be like Cain, who when he sees God blessing Abel, he goes and gets a rock and kills his brother. God wants a church of people who celebrate successes of each other and not hate the successes of each other. So you pray, you ask God, and you pray till you get victory. Listen to me, you pray till you get victory. But God, it didn't work. I prayed a week, it didn't work. Paul says, pray till it's done. Praise till God finishes what He started. Tell God your fears. Tell God your greatest fears, and watch how God will show you that your fear was not that big. As soon as you start telling God about your greatest fear, you'll realize that it's not even that big. The fear was bigger than the thing that you were fearing. Right? So pray. Number two, build your own house. This is how you overcome comparison, insecurity. Build your own life. Build your own business. Build your own career. Build your own family. Build your own children. Grow your own gifts. Grow your own trees. Build your own life. Stop looking around, Saul. Stop looking around at everybody else. Build your own palace and a castle, Saul. King Saul, stop chasing David. Galatians 6:4. I want you to remember this verse. It says this: pay careful attention to your own work. Whose work? Your own. Satan wants us to focus on the work of my brother. What is he doing? Huh? You want to know everybody's business. Right? But pay careful attention to your own work. For then you will get a satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. That's God. Meaning, build your own house. Focus on you. Build your own gift. Because believe it or not, God created you with a gift, so the world needs your gift. I say this, I felt like God looked in the future and He saw there was a need. Okay? And so he blew a soul into this bowl. He went, balloon kind of thing. And then He noticed two parents somewhere in the world were about to have some Valentine's Day romantic dinner. So He takes that soul and He goes, and He put everything in it to fix the problem that's going to come up. See, God knows the problems that are going to come up. So He went, and He goes, as they're having fun, He goes, and they're like, they don't even know what happened. But a baby is born, is created, right? And when sperm hits the egg, light comes on now, scientists tell us. And so it works. And then God begins to grow. And your job is to discover what God blew into you. It's your job to discover. It's your parents. It's our job to help our kids discover what God in them. It's our job to stretch our kids and shoot them in the area where God, not what we want for them, what God wanted for them. Yes, there are children, but there are ultimately His children. You have them for so many years. God has them forever. My 15 minutes is up. No, not yet. Okay. So build your own house. King Saul, gotta build your own house. Here's a lesson. You can never build your own house by trying to destroy someone else's work. You think by destroying somebody else, your house is getting built? No. You can do one thing at a time. You either destroy somebody else's house or you build your house. Which one would you rather do? Because after you got done destroying somebody else's house, you look back and there's nothing. So which one would you rather do? I gotta admit, I'm not gonna worry about your house. I want my house to be nice. I want my life to be nice, so I'm gonna work on myself. That's why, you know, you got your own issues and you'll pay your own price. But I'm gonna work on me and my house. Me and my house will serve the Lord. Okay, so insecurity and comparison is just a distraction. Because when you're trying to destroy somebody else's house, you're not destroying really that person by gossip, by talking bad about them, by judging them, by not hanging out with them, by not loving them. You're really fighting God. You're resisting God. Number three, celebrate. How do you overcome comparison and insecurity? Celebrate and praise people who are worthy of praise. Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. What? Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Okay, so celebrate and praise people who are worthy of praise. King Saul, when he noticed that David was having his 15 minutes of fame, Saul should have celebrated him instead of attacking him. Celebrate people's achievements. Celebrate their talents and gifts. Ladies, celebrate somebody else's children when they're successful. If they're a student of the month, don't be like, Celebrate somebody else's kids. Father, celebrate somebody else's kids when they are good in sports. Don't compete with them. Don't compare them. Celebrate with them. Listen to this. Oh, God is speaking. By celebrating others does not diminish your worth. Not a bit. It makes you look greater in front of people than a petty, small, jealous person. By celebrating others, another success does not cancel out your success. By celebrating somebody else's blessing does not cancel out your blessing. Ha ha. Listen, God gives every person 15 minutes of fame. Wouldn't you agree? Everybody will have 15 minutes of fame in this world. Now, some might have it 5 times. Some might have it 20 times in their lifetime. Right? Some might have it once. But everyone will enjoy their 15 minutes of fame. Now, when your 15 minutes come, do you want people to celebrate with you? Or do you want him to kind of be like, what does he think he's doing? Who does he think he is? We call those people haters. And so I want to tell you, be a celebrator, not a hater. Be a celebrator, not a hater. Because when your times come for 15 minutes of fame, and God doesn't give people a lifetime of fame. Here's why. Because fame is not what you think it is. It doesn't satisfy as much as you think it would. Actually, sometimes other people can enjoy your fame better than you can. Sometimes other people celebrate, enjoy your party more than you do. You're worried about all the food and cooking, and somebody else comes and they're enjoying your party more than you do. God wants you to celebrate. Now, some of you will have few moments of fame in your life. Your personal fame. However, when you look at the big picture of family of God, there's always somebody who's celebrating 15 minutes of fame. Somebody's celebrating a birthday. Somebody's celebrating promotion. Somebody's celebrating healing. Somebody's celebrating deliverance. Somebody's celebrating a new car. Somebody's celebrating a new baby. And you know what? God says instead of competing with them and comparing yourself with them and disliking them, why don't you join in the celebration? Why don't you rejoice with those who rejoice? Why? Because if you just wait for yours, it's going to be a while. Because when you're waiting for your 15 minutes of fame, sometimes it could be a while. But if you learn to celebrate other people, you can have the glimpses of that feeling on a daily basis. What you want, you can have on a daily basis. Why wait 15 years till you become rich and famous to be happy? Why not go to somebody else's party and be happy today? Light bulb moment. Do you see what I'm saying? Parents, when your child succeeds in sports or in school or something, doesn't that make you so happy for them? Are you less happy than your child at that moment? No. No, you're not. So you're just as happy as they are. Why? Because you love them. That's the key here. That's the key. The only way to enjoy the glimpses of 15 minutes of fame on a daily basis is to love somebody. Actually, love everybody. Love one another, Bible says. Love is the key. That's right. And so when my brother here's getting married, and I'm there, man. I don't care if you enjoy it, but I'm going to enjoy it. Right? Jesus comes to your house and visits you, I'm going to be nearby celebrating with you. I'm after glimpses. I'm after those glimpses of, I'm after those moments. And that's why the Bible says in one of the Ten Commandments is, do not envy. Do yourself a favor and celebrate other people. Have you heard that saying, do yourself a favor and forgive? That's, I think, Joyce Meyer. Do yourself a favor and forgive. Why? Because it blesses you. It helps you. Do yourself a favor and celebrate other people because it blesses you. Loving people makes us celebrate. In Philippians 2:3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourselves. 5. Next verse. 4. Yeah. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Love them. What about my enemies? Why can't I wish them evil? Why can't I at least wish them that God would punish them? As a Christian, why can't I just pray, God, punish them? You know you can't do that. Bible says to bless your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. Why? Well, here's the opposite. If you don't bless them, you get mad at them. Who does that hurt? You don't bless them, so you hate them. Who does that hurt? Okay. You don't bless them, you get jealous of them. Who does that hurt? You don't bless them, you get offended, really, really angry and offended. Who does that hurt? Yourself. You get very angry, so rage. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe after all I've done for them, they hate me. Who does that hurt? You start plotting against them. So for weeks, for months, you're talking to yourself and you're planning how a train can hit them. Who does that hurt? Whose house are you trying to destroy? Well, whose house are you not building? Your own. You're not building your own house because you're thinking and all your energy is going how to destroy that other person. Even if it's just thoughts. Even if you never follow through. You know that envy or jealousy is why a lot of people commit homicide? Is the biggest reason. Do your research. That's why Saul was... He didn't do nothing unique. He does what everybody does when they get so out of control. Retaliation. So you're going to retaliate against your enemy. Who does that hurt? You. Because you might end up in jail. Yeah. Trying to prove you're right. Yeah. That's true. So do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor, brother. And celebrate other people for your sake. I don't feel it. It's not about how you feel. It's about choices that we make. I don't feel like forgiving, but I make a choice. I'm going to forgive you. And I don't feel it for a week. I don't feel it for a month. But my feelings follow my choices. Amen? And so I made a choice. I'm going to celebrate you. If I see somebody on Facebook, and I'm going to celebrate you. If I see you driving a new car, I'm going to say, hey, nice car. Ladies, if you see another lady in church and they have nice shoes, just say, what a nice shoes. Really, I love your shoes. Pastor, you did such a great job preaching today. Amen. 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 Were you blessed by this message? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Guys, this has been a transforming moment in your life. This has been a decision-making moment in your life. There's only a few moments like that in life. And today, God wants you to make a decision. I'm going to celebrate people. I'm not going to be jealous of people. I'm going to check my motives. And I'm going to build my own house and not try to destroy yours. Now, you've heard this message. So now, it's a part of you. You're responsible for it. You're accountable to God for it. You can't say to God, I never knew that insecurity was so bad. Yeah, you did. Remember the guy with an accent? 2016? Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. And so what are you going to do with this knowledge? Are you going to put it on a shelf? Or are you going to apply it into your life? I would say apply it. Let's apply it into our life. Let's be a kind, warm church. Let's be a loving church. That doesn't mean we're blind to sin. No, we think on a higher level. Jesus said, in this way you shall be a children of the Most High. Perfect. Perfect. That's what Jesus said. That's when he says, bless those who curse you. That's Matthew 5. Read that at home. You'll be perfect. If you can learn to do that, you will escape so many battles in your life. Oh my goodness. Your life could be so easy, so much easier. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be so much easier. Weren't you glad you came here? Amen. Amen. Clap your hands and bless God.